الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue with our readings from the book Bulugh al-Maram specifically and from the general lectures related to the virtue and the rulings of the fast of the month of Ramadan. In our previous class, we have seen that the ulama, they have mentioned the definition of fasting linguistically and legislatively. Who can remind us of the linguistic meaning of fasting, as-siyam? نعم الامتناع نعم الامساك يعبرون بالامساك وهو الامتناع عن الشيء نعم الامساك ها عن الشيء وتركه مطلقا to leave off something entirely whatever the case may be speech food walking talking in general a general sense to leave off and to abstain from something so then the linguistic meaning is abstinence to leave off إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ سَوْمًا Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned about Maryam. Naam, that's the linguistic meaning is to refrain and to leave off something, to abstain from something, whatever the case it may be, any in general. And the legislative meaning? Naam. نعم أحسنت نعم أي هو يكون وقت مخصوص لخص هذا بوقت مخصوص وهذا الوقت المخصوص هو من طلوع الفجر الصادق إلى غروب الشمس نعم أحسنتم جزاكم الله خيرا نعم نعم الصيام شرعا هو التعبد لله لابد من ذكر النية نعم التعبد لله ويشمل ذلك النية يعني الخلاص والمتابعة التعبد يعني to worship Allah عز وجل this means that it must be sincerely for the sake of Allah عز وجل and likewise according to the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم الصيام شرعا التعبد لله تعالى من شخص مخصوص بالإمساك عن المفطرات من طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس نعم التعبد لله تعالى من شخص مخصوص يعني the person that is performing the fast The legislative fast, he has specific description and attributes. Inshallah, the clarification will come. What is the reality of this action of fasting? Legislatively, بِالْإِمْسَاكِ عَنِ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ By leaving off and abstaining from everything that breaks the fast. مِنْ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ إِلَى غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ From the rising of the fajr, or the coming of the fajr, and to the setting of the sun, and to the setting of the sun. Now, In our previous class, we stopped and we were discussing the fact that a siyam is a pillar from the pillars of Islam, ruknun min arkan al-Islam. And we were discussing the proofs about that. We can remind the proof that it's a pillar. Hadith Jibreel. Naam. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his companions and Jibreel came to him. And his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu anhum, and he asked the Prophet, excuse me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about Islam. And he told him that Islam, and he mentioned that is this, and he mentioned the five pillars from that, he mentioned, wa sawm Ramadan. Naam, an tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa tuqima salata wa tu'ti az-zakata wa tasuma Ramadan, wa tuhajj al-bayt, in istata'ta ilayhi sabila. So here it is clarified in the hadith of Jibreel, which is known by some of the ulama as the hadith of the as-sunnah, the of the sunnah, the as-sunnah, like the Fatiha is al-kitab, al-Qur'an, because all of the meanings of the Qur'an return back and are found in the fundamentals of the Fatiha. Likewise, all of the understanding and the clarification and the rulings and the detailed aspects of the sunnah, they all return back to this hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salam. Now, likewise, there was another hadith that was shorter than that, easier to memorize, the hadith of عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما بني الإسلام على خمس. نعم، شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت وصوم رمضان. In some narration, وصوم رمضان وحج البيت بالتقديم والتأخير. The point is that this is the evidence that this great act of fasting in the month of Ramadan, it is a pillar from the pillars of al-Islam. Likewise, now we want to discuss another issue similar to this, the fact that it's an obligation. Fasting the month of Ramadan is an obligation. Wajibun. Naam, it's wajib. Naam, what does it mean that it's wajib?
Obligatory.
Obligatory. What does that mean? What is the outcome of this?
The command of Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, this is wajib. How do you recommend it? Is under wajib. Now we'll see the difference, huh?
Yeah.
The one that is the action that is considered an obligation, this is the one that the person who performs it, he will have a reward. And the one who does not perform it, then he deserves a punishment. He deserves a punishment. Naam, he deserves a punishment. فالواجب ما يثاب عليه فاعله ويستحق العقاب تاركه عليه تاركه. The one, يعني تاركه, يعني الذي ما يقوم به, the one who doesn't perform it, then he deserves to be punished. But if Allah wills, he could forgive him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the issue is that the one who does not perform the obligation, he is performing a sin or committing a sin. Naam, perpetrating transgression against the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the case. As for the one that's highly recommended, then he has a reward if he does it. But if he did not do it, he will not be punished. He will not be punished. Naam, so this the issue of the obligation of fasting. We've seen in our previous class that the obligation of fasting came in three different stages. Who can remind us again? The first was Yom Ashura. Naam. And then? The fast of Ramadan became obligatory, but it was given the option either to fast or to feed a poor person for each day. And then after that, the obligation of fasting was established. Naam, the obligation of fasting was established. And the benefit from this is?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just all of a sudden
at-tadarruj, step by step. The legislation was revealed and established step by step, observing the reality of the human being. That if it came all of a sudden, one ruling like this in this manner, for example, fasting, leave off everything all of a sudden, then this would have been difficult. But little by little by little, this is how Allah Azza wa Jal, with His hikmah and His wisdom and the legislation of His deen, He legislated in this manner. Likewise, the rest of the obligations, they didn't come all at once. Praying five times a day didn't come all at once. Leaving off alcohol didn't come all at once. The command to leave off zina didn't come in the beginning. But it came slowly and slowly as the revelation was being revealed, clarifying the importance of iman. And as the companions, their iman is increasing and their understanding of Allah Azza wa Jal and His deen and the reality of this life and the hereafter and the day of judgment, and their iman is increasing, then the legislation is being revealed little by little until it is complete in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the question is now that we need the proof for the obligation of fasting. Now, أحسنت. نعم. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. That Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He addressed the believers and He said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, كتب عليكم الصيام. The ulama, they mentioned here that كتب means فرض. فرض عليكم, يعني it's been made an obligation. يعني فرض الله عز وجل عليكم هذا الصيام. فرض عليكم الكتابة, الكتابة الشرعية. It's been prescribed legislatively, made an obligation for you to fast, O you who believe. Just as it was made an obligation for those before you, so that you may obtain piety and be righteous, so that you may fear Allah عز وجل by applying his commandments and staying away from his prohibitions. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he has a very beneficial statement with regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. He said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ Allah Azza wa Jal يَقُولِ يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَأَرْعِ لَهَا سَمْعَكَ. He said, if you hear Allah Azza wa Jal say, O you who believe, then listen attentively. We know many verses in the Qur'an, we find it like this, that Allah will address the believers in this manner, O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Abdullah bin Mas'ud is saying, if you hear Allah Azza wa Jal saying this, then you should listen attentively. فَإِنَّهُ إِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ خَيْرًا يَأْمُرُ بِهِ أَوْ شَرًّا يَنْهَى عَنْهُ. Because either Allah Azza wa Jal is going to be mentioning some good that He is commanding you with, or He will be mentioning some evil that He is prohibiting you from. So in these statements particularly, this is to draw the attention. Pay attention attentively all the time when the Qur'an is recited, but especially at this time, because this is an address to those who believe, to each and every Muslim, an address directly mentioning some good that Allah is commanding or some evil that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting. So at this time, a Muslim, he must strive to listen in the best manner. Question. What is the ruling for the... We see now that the obligation, that fasting is an obligation, fasting in the month of Ramadan. Now it became an obligation in this verse, and likewise the verse after that, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentions, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. And then he said, until the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. So it's an obligation, and it's from the pillars of Islam. What is the ruling for the one who believes it's not obligatory to fast? He denies the obligation. Na'udhu billah. He left the fold of Islam. He left the fold of Islam. Na'udhu billah. Naam, he disbelieved in the legislation of Allah. Na'udhu billah. This one, he disbelieved in the legislation of Allah. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Nas'alallah afi wa salama. Tayyib, what's the ruling of the one who doesn't deny the obligation, but he doesn't fast because of laziness, because of weakness of iman, but he confesses that it's an obligation. Fasting is an obligation, Ramadan is an obligation, but he refuses to fast. You advise him and advise him, he does not fast.
He's a believer, but he's weak.
Anybody agree with him?
Aywa?
He's a disbeliever?
No.
It's a difference. There's a different issue here. Some of the ulama, they mentioned that. But the correct opinion is that he's not a disbeliever. Rather, he's called a fasiq. Naam? He's called a fasiq. Naam? He's a wicked and evil believer. He's a bad Muslim. But he's still a believer. This is important to understand so that we don't fall into takfir and go into extremes in our religion and declare our brothers and sisters to be disbelievers based upon whims or without knowledge or because of ignorance and the likes like this. Although this individual, he is not a disbeliever, he is on the verge of destruction. He's in a very bad situation and the likes, but he's still in the fold of Islam. Now, so we see that the fasting is an obligation. Tayyib. What types of fasting are there? There's also the obligatory fast is more than one type. And then there's also a non-obligatory fast, correct? So then if we have two big categories, we can have a fasting, and then over here we have one category, obligatory. Another category, non-obligatory. Tayyib. What's the as for the obligatory, it comes down into different types. There's different types of obligatory fasting. Let's read the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned in his explanation of Umdat, he said, As-sawmu khamsatu anwa'. Five. Fasting is five types. As-sawmu al-mafroodu bishar. And bi asli shar. The obligatory fasting that is made obligatory by the legislation. Wa huwa sawmu shahri Ramadan. That's the first one. This is the type of obligation that there's that fasting is five times. The first one that is made obligatory by the legislation. Now, and that is the fast of Ramadan. But this is actually from two aspects. Ada'an wa qada'an. Because to perform the fast of Ramadan is an obligation. But the one who breaks the fast for with an excuse, he has to make it up, and that likewise is an obligation. And both of them are made obligatory by the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is something that has been legislated bi asli shara. The ulama, they say bi asli ash-shara. And from the fundamentals of the deen, it's made obligatory to fast Ramadan, either by performing it in the proper time, or the one who misses it with an excuse, he will make it up likewise. These are both obligatory. Fasting, that's made obligatory by the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. We understand that? Tayyib. The second one, or the third one actually, As-sawmu al-wajibu bil-kaffarat. As-sawmu al-wajibu bil-kaffarat. There are actions that an individual, he may fall into, transgressing the limits. And the way to expiate this mistake and this error, certain actions that Allah has made impermissible, He has made the means to rectify that with expiation. For example, al-dhihar, the one who says that he will never that his wife is like his mother to him, or the back of his mother, like he cannot touch his wife. He swears he will never have relations with his wife. Like this, and then he breaks the expiation. He breaks this oath. One of the expiations, if he is not able to free the slave, is to fast 2 months back to back. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَتَمَاسَ. Likewise, there are other rulings when it will become obligatory because of the kafara to fast. So this is likewise an obligation. Naam? But this is because the person, he performed an action that made it obligatory upon him. We understand that? But it's still an obligation. It could be an obligation. Some of them, the options will be ala takhir, and fasting will be one of the choices. Naam? Likewise, the one who broke an oath, if he is not able to fulfill the first three options, then he would fast. And that would be an obligation. And the obligatory. So then the first type is the fast of Ramadan, and it's two types. Ada'an wa qada'an. To perform it and to make it up. These are both made obligatory by the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The second type of obligatory fast will be the one will be because of the kafara. The person, he needs to make an expiation for an action that he performed. طيب, the fourth one, likewise, is al-wajib bin nadr. A person, he will swear upon himself that he will fast. He'll say, Wallahi, it's obligatory for me to fast on this day. Somebody, or he'll say, it's obligatory for me to fast next Thursday. Or he'll say, Wallahi, I'm going to fast, or he's going to fast next Thursday, like this. And then now this has become obligatory. The legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla did not make it obligatory upon him, rather he made it obligatory upon himself. It's not originally an obligation in the deen, in the legislation, in the shara. But because he took an oath, now it must be fulfilled. مَنْ نَذَرَ أَنْ يُطِيعَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَلْيُطِيعُهُ مَنْ نَذَرَ أَنْ يُطِيعَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَلْيُطِيعُهُ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Whoever takes an oath to obey Allah, then he has to obey Him. He has to obey Him. So this is another type of fasting that is obligatory. By what? By way of an oath. He will swear that he will fast. Or maybe he will, that's like mutlaq. Or maybe he will say, if his child becomes healthy, for example, then he will fast this day. Or if he passes a test, for example, he will fast this day. And like this. This is all the possible way to make a fasting obligatory by way of another. Another. Likewise, after this is the non-obligatory fasting, which is known as As-sawm at-tatawwu. As-sawm at-tatawwu. And this is also two types. This is also two types. Shaykh al-Islam, his statement ends here. Shaykh al-Islam, he said, الصوم المفروض بالشر هو صوم شهر رمضان أداء وقضاء والصوم الواجب في الكفارات والواجب بالنذر والصوم التطوع. That's the end of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam. But likewise, the ulama, they clarify that الصوم التطوع, it's not obligatory, it's nafil. It's on this side over here. Nafil. We had the fard or the wajib, right? We have the fard. The fard, what is it? Ramadan. Performing it and making it up. And then? Kafarat. Also obligatory. And then? Nadhar. طيب, we'll go to the other side. And we have? Nafil. At-tatawwa. Naam. At-tatawwa. Or an-nafil. Non-obligatory. This is also two types. One that is mu'ayyin and one that is mutlaq. Mu'ayyin, for example, 3 days of every month. Even though it could be mutlaq, or the 3 days, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, because this is specific, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged this specifically. Likewise, al-ithnayn al-khamis. Naam, al-ithnayn al-khamis, this is specific, or just to fast 1 day, or 2 days, or 3 or 4 or 5 days like this, as one wishes, this is permissible likewise. This is permissible likewise. This is the reality of the different types of fasting. The different types of fasting. طيب, we've seen that fasting, the month of Ramadan, is obligatory. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Until he says, سبحانه وتعالى, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمْ الْشَهْرَ فَلْيَسُمْ. نعم؟ طيب, واجب على كل أحد مطلقا. It's obligatory upon everybody. Absolutely. The young and the small. Nah. As mentioned in the ta'rif, or the definition, min shakhsin makhsus. طيب, this is the issue here. We want to discuss about the issue of shurut wujub al-siyam. Yesterday I mentioned in the previous class the shurut qabul al-siyam, qabul al-ibadah. Remember that? What were they? Ikhlas wa mutabah. Sah. Then we mentioned ahsant. قبول, نعم. And then we mentioned صحة, شروط الصحة, the correctness of the ibadah, that is performed correctly. That was al-Islam, he must be a Muslim, must be sane, and he must tamyiz. This is going to come in later on as we're studying, especially when we begin reading the narrations and understanding the rulings. This will help us to understand. Naam, that even though it's not obligatory for the youth that are not of the age of puberty to pray, it's encouraged to make them fast. It's encouraged to make them fast, and if they do fast, they get a reward because their fast will be correct because of understanding these shurut al-siha. Now, so far we've seen shurut al-siha, and this is umum for jami' al-ibadat. For all of the acts of worship. Then we have the shurut qabul aylan. This is for all of the acts of worship. Al-ikhlas wa mutaba'ah. Not only just fasting. Now we have specifically shurut wujub al-siyam. Shurut wujub al-siyam. The conditions of the obligation of fasting. It's not obligatory for everybody to fast. But the one who meets these conditions, it's obligatory for him to fast. Naam? Everybody is clear? طيب, هناك ستة أوصاف, يعني the ulama they mention, or the shurut, or they call them أوصاف, يعني descriptions, لمن يجب عليه الصيام. Six descriptions for the one that's obligatory for him to fast. The first one, al-Islam. The first description he must have, and the first condition for the fast to be accepted is al-Islam. نعم, and that is because الكافر لا تقبل منه العبادة. في حال كفره, the disbeliever is not accepted from him any act of worship in the state of disbelief. نعم, and this is because Allah عز وجل, he mentioned مثل الذين كفروا بربهم أعمالهم كرماد اشتدت به الريح في يوم عاصف. نعم, لا يقدرون مما كسبوا على شيء. That the example of those who disbelieve in their Lord, their deeds are like ashes that a strong wind has taken. اشتدت به الريح في يوم عاصف. A strong wind has taken it on a stormy windy day. They have no ability over what they have earned. They have no benefit from them whatsoever. So the deeds of the disbeliever, they have no benefit for them whatsoever.
I think, is there another one?
If we could imagine the example that Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned here. Allahu Akbar. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. The example of those who disbelieve in their Lord. What is the example of them? أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاسِفٍ. We have ramad. What is ramad? Ashes. If even in a contained room, and somebody took ashes and threw them, what would happen to them? You can't get them back. You can't gather them back. What about if the wind is blowing? It's even worse. You can surely never get them back. What about if it's in a storm, and the wind is blowing, and they're thrown? That's nothing. Their deeds are nothing. If they give a million in charity, if they pray all day and all night, but they invalidated Islam, or they're not a Muslim originally, then their deeds are like this, of no benefit whatsoever. Now, so this is the first condition. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ. That Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned that nothing has prohibited them from their charity and their spending from being accepted except that they disbelieved in Allah and in His Messenger. Nothing prohibited their charity from being accepted from them except that they disbelieved in Allah and in His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Naam, وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ. Naam, so their deeds are not accepted. If they fast, it's not accepted. And in reality, we see many people today from the Muslims making a mistake calling the disbelievers to fast with them, particularly in colleges and the likes. We have the kuffar fasting with us today. This is not the correct way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He didn't call them to fast with Him. Rather, He called them to worship Allah alone. He went to their markets and He didn't say them to leave off the food. He went to their markets sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Qulu la ilaha illallah tufrihu." Say la ilaha illallah, you'll be successful. So just as we see the legislation of fasting and the other rites of Islam came slowly like this, step by step, likewise, the one who wants to be called to Islam, he should be called in this manner likewise. Called to the Tawheed of Allah first. Called to Al-Ikhlas and called to believing in Allah Azza wa Jalla as the only creator and the only one worthy of worship, and that Muhammad is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that, we teach him how to pray. And then slowly he will learn how to fast in this manner like this. Naam, this is the case. So Al-Islam is the first condition. Al-Islam is the first condition. Tayyib. What about the one who accepts Islam? Does he have to make up fast? No. What about if he accepted Islam in Ramadan? The 15th of Ramadan, for example. Does he have to make up the 15 days before? He accepted Islam right before Maghrib. Does he have to make that day up? La. Why?
Because he was not a believer before that.
Okay, this is good. We're using the, alhamdulillah, the mind, but we need to have al-ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidalilihi. We have to have the evidence. It's in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْتَنْتَهُ. Surah Al-Anfal. قُلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنْ يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Say to the disbelievers that if they leave off their disbelief, then what they had, what has preceded will be forgiven from them. And he will be forgiven from them. قُلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنْ يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Then if they leave off their disbelief, then what has proceeded from them will be forgiven. This is the case. طيب الشرط الثاني, the second condition, البلوغ. البلوغ. He has to have reached the age of puberty. If he is a Muslim but he did not reach the age of puberty, it is not an obligation to fast. Rather, if he is a Muslim and he did not reach the age of puberty, it's not an obligation for him to perform any of the acts of worship. Except for one. One of the pillars of Islam is obligatory upon him. Of course, the Shahada. in order to be a Muslim, but one of the actions, zakat. Now the one that the children that have wealth, then there's zakat, there will be zakat made on their wealth. Naam. Tayyib. But here we have al-bulugh, the one who is below the age of puberty, it's not an obligation for him. But we've seen before that if he's at the age of tamyiz, where he can distinguish between the good and the bad, and the hot and the cold, and the truth and a lie, and so on and so forth, the ulama mentioned roughly around the age 7, although each child could differ, 7, 8, 9, like this, the age of tamyiz, then he's encouraged to fast, but it's not obligatory. Tayyib. But this balugh, al-balugh, or puberty, it has signs. It has signs. So how will we know that a child has reached balugh? What does balugh mean? Puberty. Puberty. Becoming a man at this or a woman. At this time, whenever a child reaches a balugh, he's not considered a child anymore, and now he becomes mukallaf. At the age whenever there's bulugh, if he has likewise the next condition, which is an aql, he has intelligence, then he will be considered mukallaf, meaning that he's held responsible for his actions and his statements. And the angels are writing his deeds and his statements now. Naam. So the one who has bulugh, how do we know if he has reached the age of puberty? There are three signs the ulama have mentioned that have come. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is important for us to know, especially for parents, so that they can see, or even the youth, so that they can know from themselves. But the parents especially, so that if their child has these signs, or one of these signs, then it's obligatory for them to fast now. It's obligatory for them to pray now. Now they're being held accountable. So they must be directed in the right direction at this time. And they shouldn't be treated as a child that is not held accountable anymore. Once one of these signs is clear. The first sign, the ulama, they mention, in batu al-sha'ar al-khashin. In batu al-sha'ar al-khashin. Having the pubic hair. Akramukum Allah. But they mention the hair that's around the private parts. But not the hair that's soft. This is not what's intended. What's intended is the rough, coarse hair that knows that this is that type of hair. Akramukum Allah jamian. Not any type of hair, the soft hair that may be there. La, but the one that is coarse and rough. Naam, in bat al-sha'r al-khashin. The ulama they mention, and this is because of the evidence that has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It has been narrated from a companion. His name is Atiyah al-Quradi. Al-Quradi. This is an ascription to where? Quraydha. Who is that? What is Quraydha?
A tribe.
Banu Quraydha. From where? From the Yahud. Banu Quraydha, they were a tribe from the Yahud. But what they did something to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet had a sulh with them. And he had a contract and a bond with them that they would not harm each other. They would live in peace in Medina. They were from the Jews of the Medina. All of the tribes of the Jews, actually, they all invalidated their contract with the Prophet. And they went back on that and broke their word. But this was done by Banu Quraydha in the battle of Khandaq. Naam, they had turned their backs on the covenant that they had and tried to side with the mushrikeen and give them information. But Allah Azza wa Jal, He turned their plot into nothing and to destruction and failure. But the one who is narrating this narration, his name is Atiyatu al-Quradi, radiyallahu anhu. Radiyallahu anhu. He was a Jew from this tribe. So he said, radiyallahu anhu, he says, عُرِضْنَا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَوْمَ قُرَيْضَهِ فَكَانَ مَنْ أَنْبَتَ قُتِلْ وَمَنْ لَمْ يُنْبِتْ خُلِّيَ سَبِيلُهُ فَكُنْتُ مِمَّنْ لَمْ يُنْبِتْ فَخُلِّيَ سَبِيلِي. He mentioned, rahimahullah, radiyallahu anhu, that on the day of Quraydha, the day of this, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raided them for their treachery, he said that we were all presented, the tribe of Quraydha were presented to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what is mentioned is that he said that whoever had the hair on their privates, this type of pubic hair, akramakum Allah jamian, then he was killed. And whoever was not, did not have this hair, then he was left to go. And this is because the companion Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he had decreed, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the right to command in their affair, because he used to be from their allies in the days of Jahiliyyah. And they requested to have Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, the great Ansari radiallahu anhu, command, and they thought that he would be light on them. But his command was that those who were fighters should be killed, and the women and children should be taken captives. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that his commandment was in accordance with the commandment of the Lord of the worlds, of Allah azza wa jalla, Allahu Akbar. And this companion, he has a great high status and rank. And to read about him in his biography, there's great benefits that you can read about Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, from the most noblest of the Ansar. But the case here is that after this, those who were able to fight, meaning those who had reached puberty, they were killed. Naam, from those who made treachery on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from this tribe. And Atiyah al-Quradi, he said, and I was from those who did not have this sign yet, and he did not reach puberty, so then he was left. It's فَخُلِّيَ السَّبِيلِ. He was left, and then after this, they was taken captive. And then in captivity, Allah Azza wa Jal guided him to Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal guided him to Islam, and he became a Muslim. Naam, Atiyah al-Quradi, radiyallahu anhu. So we see that this is the sign. The sign of reaching puberty. And the sign that an individual will be held accountable for his speech and his action. And it's obligatory for him to fast the month of Ramadan. Specifically what we want to learn here. But before that, it's obligatory to fast. To pray. Obligatory to guard his eyes and protect his tongue and keep his hands away from the harming the Muslims and the likes like this. All of the obligations. Here, particularly fasting. This is one of the signs. This is one of the signs. It has been mentioned with regards to the likes of this companion from the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, "Ajiba Allahu min qawmin yadkhulun al-jannata fi salasil." He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was amazed that a people who entered the paradise in chains. A narration by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. It's been mentioned about this, that this is the case because of the fighting, the jihad of the believers. They take the captives into captivity, and then they see the reality of Islam, and they become Muslims as slaves. And they become Muslims as slaves. So in the beginning they are taken into slavery, and then because of the wars, and then after that they see the truth of Islam and become Muslims. And many of the narrators of hadith, you will find that he will be called Mawla so-and-so, Mawla so-and-so. Meaning at one time he was a slave, and then he accepted Islam, and then was freed. This is the case. And Allah is amazed at the people who enter the paradise in chains or shackles. And he means being dragged into paradise. So even the establishment of jihad is a mercy to bring the people from the darkness of disbelief into the light of Islam, into the light of Islam. The second sign of puberty, of bulugh. What is the first sign? Imbatushar al-khashin. Naam. The second sign, al-ihtilam. Al-ihtilam. An Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu, marfu'a. He mentioned, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, غَسْلُ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ وَاجِبٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُحْتَرٍ عَلَى كُلِّ مُحْتَرٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, taking a shower, bathing on the day of Jumu'ah is an obligation upon every muhtarim. Muhtarim is the one who sees, he has a wet dream. The one who has a wet dream. Now Ibn Hajar, he mentioned a balighun, wa innama dhakara al-ihtilam likawnihi al-ghalib ustudilla bihi ala dukhul an-nisa fi dhalika. Naam, ala dukhul an-nisa fi dhalika. So Ibn Hajar, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, that the meaning of muhtalim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used this word muhtalim, but what is intended by that is the one who is of the age of puberty, because this does not occur except at the age of puberty. So then the obligation of taking a bath, a shower on the day of Jumu'ah is obligatory forever, muhtaram, for every muhtaram, meaning for every baligh, for every adult, the one who has reached puberty. The point here is that this is a sign. The one who has seen the thick wet fluid, whether he remembers or does not remember, whenever he wakes up, then this is a sign that he has reached the age of puberty. And that means that, what does that mean? He has to fast. That's right. But in general, naam, ahsan. It's obligatory for him to fast now because he has reached the age of taklif. And this is important to know. At this time, he has reached the age of taklif. He has reached the age of accountability. He reached the age of accountability. An individual maybe, you know, he says, for the father, for example, this is my little girl. But if the little girl reached this age, she's still the person's little girl, but now she's held accountable. So we shouldn't say, because we see sometimes maybe that they have reached the age of puberty and they still don't fast, and they still don't pray. Maybe the girl is still doesn't even cover properly, and she reached their age of puberty. And then if you ask why, the father, this is my baby girl, this is, nam, that's the case, but your baby girl reached puberty now, and she's held accountable for her actions. So if you love her, you would direct her to that which is good for her in her dunya and in her deen. And commanding her to cover, commanding her to pray, commanding her to fast. At this time, it's an obligation. She's held accountable. She's held accountable. So understanding these signs is very important. And specifically to understanding the obligation of fasting and likewise the other acts of accountability. Tayyib. So this is the case. The one who sees this thick white fluid after sleeping, whether he remembers or feels pleasure or does not feel pleasure. If it's there, then this is indication that he has reached the age of puberty and now he's held accountable, or she. Likewise, the ulama, they mentioned that the female is included in this. Ala kulli muhtalim. Now, there are other evidences for this. Another narration, also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La yutma ba'd al-ihtilam." Again, there is no, a person is not considered an orphan after he has ihtilam. Ihtilam is to have the wet dream, to see to have this, yani, to have this. So this is the case. Naam, the third sign, al-alama thalitha min alamat al-bulugh. طيب, with regards to the second one, ihtilam, the ulama, they all agreed upon this one. The ulama, they differed about these signs. One of them, they all agreed upon, ijma', consensus, and that was the ihtilam. As for the inbat al-sha'r, the ulama differed about it, but what is correct, and Allah knows best, is that it is a sign. Ibn Kathir mentioned that, and the ulama, they mentioned that. And the ulama of our era likewise, today, they mentioned that this is the sign. Because of the evidence that we have seen in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, the third sign of reaching puberty and then thus being held accountable is بلوغ خمسة عشرة سنة. خمسة عشرة سنة, reaching the age of 15. So if the child, boy or girl, did not find this thick, coarse hair in their privates, nor did they have the wet dream like this, until they reach the age of 15. If they reach the age of 15, then they become mukallaf. They're held accountable now. Now it's obligatory to fast. Now it's obligatory to pray. Now, if they have this, the hair is present before 15, it's obligatory. If they have the wet dream before 15, it's obligatory. If they don't have either one of them until 15, even if they don't have either one of them until 16, 17, but once they reach 15 now, that's the limit. That's the limit. At this time, they become mukallaf. The first condition for the obligation of fasting is a person must be a Muslim. The second condition for the obligation of fasting is the person must reach the age of puberty. Reaching the age of puberty, there are signs that the ulama have clarified. The first sign is that they have the hair, the thick, coarse hair will appear in the private area. And the second sign is that the child will have a wet dream, and he will find the fluid and pants that a child comes from. Whether they remember or they don't remember, whether they felt pleasure or did not feel pleasure, if that is present, that's a sign that they reached puberty. Fine. The third sign is that they reached the age of 15. They reached the age of 15. It's been narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah that he said, عُرِضْتُ عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمَ أُحُدٍ وَأَنَا إِبْنُ أَرْبَعَ عَشْرَ وَأَنَا إِبْنُ أَرْبَعَ عَشْرَةَ فَلَمْ يُجْزِنِي فَلَمْ يُجْزِنِي وَعُرِضْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنَا إِبْنُ خَمْسَ عَشْرَةَ فَأَجَازَنِي قَالَ نَافِعٌ يعني فاني وريت عليه يوم الخندق وانا ابن 15 فاجازني قال نافع فقدمت على عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله وهو خليفه فحدثته بهذا الحديث فقال ان هذا لحد بين الصغير والكبير. The narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he mentioned that I was presented to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Uhud, the Battle of Uhud, meaning to see if he is able to fight. And it was mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was 14 years old at this time, and he was not allowed to fight. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow him to participate in the battle. And then he said, after that, I was presented again to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of the Khandaq, on another battle, and I was 15 years old. And he said, and at this time, he allowed me to fight. He allowed me to fight. The narrator who narrated this particular narration on Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, his name is Nafi' rahimahullah. And he said, I came to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz while he was the Khalifa rahimahullah, and I narrated to him this hadith, and he said that this is the determining factor between a child and an adult. This is the determining factor between a child and an adult. So we see that these three signs of puberty have been established in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A child will be not held accountable until he reaches puberty. Puberty has signs, three signs. The male and the female share in them. The first one is they have the pubic hair. Akramukum Allah jami'an. It would appear the thick, coarse hair, not the thin hair, not the soft hair, but the coarse, thick hair would appear in the private area on a male or a female. The third one is that they will have the dream. They will dream, the male or the female. And if these two did not occur, and then until the person reached 15, then at this time they're held accountable and they're considered at the age of puberty. They're considered at the age of puberty. What is the benefit of knowing this? Because at this time they are held accountable. Now they are at the age of what is called taklif. And they are considered to be mukallif. That means that the angels are writing their statements and their deeds, and they will be held accountable for what occurs from this time on. Now, there is one more sign that the ulama mentioned, but it's specific to the untha, to the female, and that is the hayd and the menses. Now, it's been narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La yakbaru Allahu salata ha'idin illa bi khimar." That Allah will not accept the prayer of a ha'id, except with khimar, except with the veil, the cover, being covered properly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the word ha'id here. Ha'id means the one who is on her menses. But that's not the intent here, not the one who is on her menses. Because we know that the one who is on her menses, if she prayed, that's a sin. Her prayer is not accepted, whether she's commanded to not pray. And she's forbidden from praying on her menses. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used this term, "La yakbaru Allah salata ha'idin illa bi khimar," that Allah will not accept the prayer of a ha'id, meaning the woman who has reached the age of menses, the woman who has the menses occurred to her. Naam, that the menses occurred to her. This is the case. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this, "Al muradu bil ha'id allati balagat bil hayd." What is intended by the one that is considered the ha'id, that's on her menses here, is not that she is on her menses, but the one that has become an adult by way of the hayd, by way of the menses. So the ulama, they mention and they have clarified the reality that this is likewise a sign for the female, that if she reaches the age whenever she has her menses, this is an indication that she has made the age of puberty. So The benefit from that is that she is now held accountable. And the women are different with regards to this. And the women and men are different with regards to the other two signs likewise. They all share, and the three signs before. Right? But maybe one child may find one of these signs before another one. Some children will find these signs at 9, 10, 11 years old. Some women or girls, for example, may have their menses at 9 years old. This is not strange. Especially in different lands, or in lands where it's hot and the likes like this, then maybe the child, the female child, will reach her and have her menses at 9 or 10. At this time, a person would not say, no, 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 she doesn't have to pray. No, 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 she doesn't have to fast. She's only 9. Right? No, she's not 15 yet. She doesn't have to wait to 15. It's not waiting till 15. It's if any one of these signs is present. And if none of these signs are present until the age of 15 at this time, then they would reach the age of puberty. This is very beneficial to understand, because at the time of reaching the age of puberty, they're held accountable. With regards to our class now, that's whenever they will be obligatory. It will be obligatory to pray, to fast. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.